In our first reading, we heard about Abram. Abram, who would later have his name changed to Abraham. He was 75 years old, and the Lord asked him to make a move. At a time when many people are deciding to settle, God invites Abraham and his wife Sarai, who will later have her name changed to Sarah, to move to the lands that I will show you. If you want to know a little bit what that experience was probably like for them, remember the first time you heard that you were moving to Florida? Abram and Sarai answered in faith. They stepped out in faith, even though they had no map, no global positioning system to guide them. Their only guide was their faith in God. And because they trusted in the Lord, they became a blessing to many, many others and a model of faith for all generations. In fact, almost a half of the world's population today see Abraham as a father in faith. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam venerate his witness. He is a witness of what it means to be someone on a spiritual journey. Because the spiritual journey calls us to step out to the unknown, not just once, but many times. Often we're called to leave the safe and secure and to venture into the unknown, the unsure, the uncharted. It starts actually at birth. Put yourself in the place of the child just being born. That child has to leave that nice, warm, watery womb and come out into this airy but scary afterlife after the womb. And it goes all the way to the other end of life that we call death, when we have to leave this good old secure terra firma for what we believe is a better but still unknown existence in the next afterlife. In between birth and death, there are many calls to go, to not get settled, but to move on to the next step in the journey of faith. Kids, you might remember that first day you went to school. You had to leave that nice house you're so used to in mom and enter that school building for the first time, wondering what is it going to be like. And then after we finally get comfortable in school, we have to leave that nice routine and get a job. Many are called to leave mother and father and cling to your spouse and start your own family. Some have gotten to that point where you've been able to leave the work world behind and enter this wonderful mystical experience called retirement. Some of the changes are a little easier than others. And for those of you like me who had to leave the cold north for warm, sunny Florida, we had to step out in faith. But we did see the postcards before we came. And as we heard in that first reading, this journey doesn't end. Even when we think it's time to retire and let go in old age, okay, I'm settled now. We're never settled. The Lord always has more that we're being called to, as Abraham and Sarah found out. The journey never ends. We have a ministry here in the parish. It used to be called the Aging Ministry, but once Sister Immaculata, after her quote-unquote retirement from teaching, after she got involved with it, she changed the name immediately to the Seasoned Travelers Ministry. And we believe as Catholics that even death is not the end of our journey. There's an afterlife, but even what we call purgatory, we still might be getting refined even after death. The journey to the beatific vision in heaven still continues, and the Lord isn't finished with us. In the late 1950s, a man who was 77 years old was elected Pope, and people thought, oh, what's he going to do? Well, we look back years later and we saw that Pope John the 23rd did quite a bit. We'll have Pope Benedict coming to our country in April, traveling around, going to the United Nations. He's in his 80s, and he's making a spiritual journey to be with us. In our own parish, so many of our folks who are quote-unquote retired are not retired from sharing their time and talent with the community. In fact, many of our ministries, our seniors, are the bulwark of our ministries. And so many of our adult education programs are full with our seniors who are still hungry for the Word of God and to deepen their faith life, because the journey of faith is never over. In the gospel that I read, we hear how Jesus' journey continues. His public ministry, his public journey, began with his baptism in the Jordan, when there was also a voice that came out of the sky and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I don't want to make this journey of life sound too threatening, because kids, our Heavenly Father is with us every step of the journey, and our God loves us because we are God's children. We never make this journey alone. And from his baptism in the Jordan, Jesus continued his journey to the cross on Calvary. He kept going up to Jerusalem, knowing that his ministry was leading him somewhere, leading him to give all for us. The early disciples of Jesus, before we were called Christians, we were called followers of the way. And as we heard in that second reading, Paul writing to Timothy, he reminds him that the way, the journey, has its hardships, but we need to carry on and not lose faith. Especially now, we do have a global positioning system. Just as the GPS works by having a satellite in the sky, we now have our Lord in the heavens as our reference point for our journey through life. In today's gospel, Jesus takes a rest stop on his journey. He goes up the mountaintop, just as Moses did when he was journeying with the Israelites for 40 years in the desert. He went up there, and just as Moses had his face shine with the light of God, Jesus' face shines like the sun, not a reflected light, but a light coming from his internal being, his oneness with his Father. And just as Moses entered into a covenant for a chosen people, Jesus takes that covenant and expands it to the whole world, to all nations. Jesus' light is to shine for all to see. Jesus didn't stay up on top of the mountain. He was willing to come back down, just as he was willing to come to earth in the first place, to come down that mountain so that he might climb a hill of Golgotha. But that was not the end of the journey either, because then there was the resurrection and the ascension, and the journey continues. The disciples who witnessed the transfiguration had different reactions. Interesting, Peter's reaction: "Let's stay, let's build three tents here." We were discussing this in our small Christian community this week, and it was interesting. Someone said, "Oh, gee, what was that? Is that just a guy thing? We got to build something." But no, it's a human thing. There's something about when we have that mountaintop experience that we want to stay there and not come back down into the world, the messiness of the world. Don't let the party end. Let the good times roll. I was looking in the ads in the paper, and I saw one of the theme parks says, "The Mardi Gras party continues year round." Doesn't quite get it. You know, with no fasting, you really don't have feasting. Down in New Orleans, at midnight on Mardi Gras, the police come riding down Bourbon Street on horseback with loudspeakers saying, "The party's over, Lent has begun." In the journey of faith, there's the ups and the downs. It is a journey. And it's so easy to want to stay on the mountaintop. We have a wonderful retreat process here in the parish called Christ Renews His Parish. And oftentimes it's people enjoy it so much, they say, "Well, why do I have to go home?" Because the name of the process is Christ Renews His Parish, not makes a retreat. The Lord always calls us back into the world to be a light and a blessing to the world. Like the three disciples that he invited to go up to the Mount of Transfiguration, every time we gather at Mass, Jesus invites us to come to another transformation. But he also calls us not just to come here to stay here, but to be nourished here so that we might go out into the world to be a light and a witness to all. I said last night at Mass, you know who always gets the last word at Mass? The deacon. Our last line is, the Mass is ended. Go forth to love and serve the Lord. But someone corrected me after Mass, says, you know, you don't have the last word. The people have the last word. We say, thanks be to God. And that doesn't mean, gee, oh, the Mass is over. Thanks be to God. But actually, if you think about it, you know who has the last word? Thanks be to. We don't come here to stay here. The Lord feeds us so that we may feed others. Malcolm Muggeridge was a reporter for the British Broadcasting System, and he got an assignment to go and cover Mother Teresa's shelters in India. And he brought a whole film crew with him, and they went in and they filmed the sisters in their shelters. But it was so dark, they thought, oh, this film isn't going to come out. But they were amazed when they developed the film, it was perfect light. Malcolm Muggeridge reflected on it. He said, Mother Teresa's home for the dying is overflowing with love. One senses this immediately on entering it. This love is luminous, like the halos artists have seen and made visible round the heads of saints. I find it not at all surprising that the luminosity should register on photographic film. But that's what we're called to do too. Let our light shine so that others might see it, that the world will be less dark because we are in it as a follower of the way. In the gospel, on the mountaintop, it's not just Jesus who was changed. The disciples were changed too. Their relationship with Jesus, their understanding of who he is, was deepened, even though it didn't come to fulfillment until the resurrection. Jesus was also preparing them for the hardships that awaited them on the journey of faith. It's interesting, the same three disciples are invited to join Jesus in the agony in the garden. We as disciples of Jesus are also invited to share in Jesus' transfiguration at this celebration of Eucharist, to be changed as the bread and the wine are changed into the body of Christ. When the gifts are brought up, and the wine, there's a beautiful little prayer as we drop a little drop of water into the wine. The water symbolizes us and the wine symbolizes Christ. And the prayer that's said silently says, by the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. We gather around this table, this altar, not just to remember Christ, but to be made members with Christ and with each other, to be nourished and transformed so that like Abraham and Sarah, we might be a light and a blessing to the nations, and as disciples of Christ, to serve the Lord and one another.